And of course, the first one is up there. What in the world do we look at this? Why in the world would they go to hell, who were right next door to God's man who preached? You know, you'd think a preacher would be heard. Probably if I gave a test whenever we left, probably three of you might have listened. No, I think you're listening better than that. And I think that is a good thing. But we look at that and wonder, why in the world did they go to hell? What was the deal? They did not know that they only live for today. That's what Scripture says. Look at Matthew 24, verses 36 through 39. 24, 36 through 39. Let me find it here. I may have to have one of you read it. That's the page. That is the page. It says in verse 36, no one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That's the way it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. You look at that and recognize that that has a message for today, for all of us today. We need to realize that there are things that are happening in our world that just resound with what is going on in that world. We look at it and we wonder, what in the world does it mean to live for only today? For only today? You know, there's something very selfish about that, isn't there? Something very wrong, very selfish. And so the Scripture puts a lot of emphasis on that we need to think about. The same reason that kept Noah's day from knowing what was going to happen is keeping the world today from knowing about the second coming of Christ. We talk about it and we can get a good amen on the second coming of Christ, but do we really believe it? Because it's the truth. The poor people, they got caught in that terrible flood. They're just as surprised as we're going to be when Jesus returns. Amen. And it will happen. And Jesus is coming again. And so we look at this and realize they didn't put worldliness in its proper place. That was the first point that jumped out at me as I studied this. They didn't put worldliness in its proper place. And it has a lot to say. You can look with me to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Oh, I hope you have your scripture where you can find it. Or your, I guess, your Apple ID. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness in the earth had become, and that every indication of the thoughts of their heart was on evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth. Boy, I would hate to hear that. And his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind from whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move around the ground and birds in the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. today I am grateful for him. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Look to Luke 21. I think if you look at Luke 21, verse 34, when you find that passage, it says, "Be careful of your hearts, will be weighted down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and the day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and so that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." The Bible is really trying to make a very stern warning to us that we as God's people don't have time to have disagreements with ourselves. We must be about reaching a lost world. We read our motto, our vision statement, our mission statement, we read those, and we need to have that internalized, and we need to remember that this is an important task that we are doing. Noah preached. Oh, wow, did you know that Noah was a preacher? Made me feel pretty good, except he preached for 100 years. Well, I'm getting there. Trouble is, he started before I did. I'm getting there, and you know, by the time we get my job done here, it may be 100 years. The way y'all are dragging your feet. Well, 100 years, man, that's a long time. And, you know, all the time, he's building an ark. And they have no idea what that ark is for. And it's huge. As a matter of fact, it took him 100 years to get it built with he and his family. They worked hard at it. And he tried to warn his neighbors the best that he could. I don't believe anybody was listening. After 100 years of preaching and building an ark, guess what? Only 8 souls were saved. That's pretty empty for a preacher, isn't it? Now, I do know missionaries have gone to a lot of places, and they've had to deal with that, and it becomes difficult, and it's very hard. But, you know, you've got to stick with it. You've got to stay with the message. You've got to share it. You've got to do everything you can. And our mission statement involves us reaching out to a whole world, starting right here. We don't start way out in the world and come in. We start right here and go out. And so our responsibility is to reach the people around us. And the way things are now, you have to be very innovative on how you can do it. You just don't walk up and ring a doorbell and expect anybody to let you in. Because they generally don't. They don't really want visitors. Because it's a very frightening time. And we recognize that a lot of people are being able to get their shots. But I'll tell you what, it's still a very frightening world. And so we've got to reach out. 8 souls saved. Did you know Lot? The kind of guy that he was able to reach out and preach to the cities and the plains. And he warned them that they were about to be burned up. You know, after all of the warning that he brought, and as hard as it was, preaching to the people that didn't want to hear it, only 3 souls were saved. Kind of frightening. How many crossed the Red Sea? Now, I know that there's some scholars that would like to, and I don't call them scholars, I think they're kind of bit out of shape, but they want to say it's the Reed Sea, which is only about 3 feet deep. And you know, if that's what it is, look who all he was able to drown in 3 feet of water. Oh, the Red Sea, that's where it was. You know, there were thousands and thousands of people who walked across that. They were able to cross that terrible place. And, you know, the miracle itself of being able to walk on dry land with water on both sides, that's I don't care if Cecil B. DeMille, he still didn't get it. He tried. But I tell you, the real thing, there's just a whole lot more to it. To get all of those people across the land there, you know, you would think that these people would be totally dedicated to God who divided the waters. And then to turn around and watch as all that water just filters in and drowns the whole army chasing. You'd think that would be the case, wouldn't you? Well, there's 100,000 of them, hundreds of thousands. They've crossed the Red Sea. They've lived in that land. But you know the scary part about it was? Only two entered the promised land. They were excluded because of their behavior and their disbelief. We need to take that warning and we need to think about it for a minute because that's very frightening. They didn't put worldliness where it belonged. They let the world engulf them. God tried to protect them, telling them you don't go out and just marry anybody. You need to pick your wife and your husband correctly. You know, that's still a good bit of advice, isn't it? Think about it. That's just a very powerful piece of advice. Well, they just didn't know how to do all of that. They didn't enter the promised land. Only two of them did. When you look at it, they didn't hear God's man. They didn't listen to the preacher. Oh, that's a good lesson. I like that lesson. You got to listen to the preacher. Of course, we're working to a place where you're going to call a preacher. And that's going to happen fairly soon. I don't know how soon, but it's coming. We're working through this, and we'll talk to you about an event later at the end of this service so that you can be a part of helping us to get there. We're trying to find all the things that we need to know so that we can invite the one who God wants for this church to come. And then my admonition is, listen to him. Listen to him. You look at this, and they had God's man there. The man was preaching for 100 years. They didn't listen. As a matter of fact, can't you just imagine that there were occasions, some of those days, when they'd come by and they'd all be laughing? What is this monstrosity that they're building out there? What is that all for? And they wouldn't believe it. And the worst thing in the world is for us to find somebody that is the perfect preacher for this church. It's God's person for this church if you don't listen to him. Well, they didn't listen. They didn't listen at all. Did you know the second coming of Jesus Christ is mentioned in Scripture? Oh, man, there's so many references. In the Old Testament alone, there are 1,845 references to the second coming. There are 17 Old Testament books that refer to it. In the New Testament, there are 318 references to the second coming of Christ. There's one in every 30 verses of the New Testament. Not only that, 23 of the 27 books in the New Testament refer to the second coming of Jesus Christ. For every prophecy of Christ's first coming, there are 8 references to the second coming. You think God's trying to tell us something? 2 Peter 2:5, we read this. Noah, he was a preacher of righteousness. That was the statement that was made. And the world would not listen. Boy, if somebody starts building a big ark like that, don't you think that that would get your attention? But they had no idea what was about to happen. Well, there's a time coming when Jesus Christ is coming again. And I'll assure you, there's going to be a lot of people caught unaware. Caught unaware. And it's our fault if we don't reach out and convince people they need to listen. And we need to have a pastor for this church that will lead us in that kind of outreach. Because really, there's a lot of outreach and a lot of inreach right here. And there are a lot of people in this community that need to know Christ. And you know, it's not just knowledge, but it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that they need to have. We need to recognize that that personal relationship that we have is so powerful and so important and so real that we've got to acknowledge that it's that way. And then finally, third point, they did not let the signs of the day warn them. They came by and looked at the little boat. Listen, that's a monstrosity. Go take a look at it. If you ever have a chance to do that, take your kids and go see the Ark Encounter. See that huge boat. Looks like it wouldn't even float. Well, boy, the Ark did, didn't it? They ignored and laughed at the ark. They ignored it and didn't want to hear what this crazy man that's building it, didn't want to listen to him at all. And his message was as clear and as active and honest as it could be. It just laid it out. There is a time coming when you're going to wish that you had been in this boat. In Genesis 7:7, Noah and his family went into the ark. I guess it started sprinkling, maybe. You know, I bet those drops got to be pretty big. But I want you to notice, when they went into the ark, God is the one who shut the door. They didn't do it. God shut the door. Thing that we've got to point out to our people around us and to everybody that we invite and want to get to know and share with, we want them to know that it is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that is essential. It's not knowledge about it, and it's not just acknowledging it, but it is a relationship. That's the reason we say you invite Jesus into your heart as your Savior and you follow Him as your Lord. You know, we're giving out, we'll be doing some more Samaritan's boxes. But how many did we send this last year, do you know? 65, that's wonderful. We ought to double that, do you think? I think we could do that. You don't realize the difference that that makes when those things go around and the little Bible study in it. It is amazing how many people get saved every year because of those boxes. And they look forward to them. And we ought to be very excited about that. But you know, we're going to start Sunday school toward the end of this month. Sunday school is going to be opened up down this hall. We're going to open the nursery, and we're going to have to find people to put in it. And I really believe that once we get that done, you'll still be wearing your mask when you walk around. I think the rule that they set is you wear your mask when you're walking around. When you sit down, you can take it off if you want to. You don't have to. But we want to be very safe. But Sunday school needs to be opened up. His church can never get back to normal till we get there. So we have got to do a lot of recovery, and I want to leave this church in great shape for the pastor that is to come. And so we need to recognize worldliness cannot get in our way. We have to do what God wants done, and we need to ask him to take charge. So in conclusion, and I want you to notice that we actually have a slide that says conclusion. And I guess he's not going to put it up for us. Did he not get that conclusion on there? I'm so sorry. I just wanted to hold this tie up one more time. Wanted to wave it at you just one more time. That is a child's idea of what it was like. That is not the truth. There you go. There's the conclusion. Is that a good time? Today, I want to make an offer to you. If in your life the world has crept in and slowed you down, I'm going to invite you to rededicate your life and make a new commitment to follow Jesus in everywhere that he would lead us. I'm going to make an offering when you come. If you want to receive Jesus as your personal Savior, this is the day that you need to do it. And if for other reasons you want to come and rededicate your life or have a prayer time, we would invite you to do so. We're going to stand together and sing our hymn of invitation, and you come right now as the Lord leads you.